This is the Huey Alert Podcast with Craig and Shelley Huey, bringing you the tools to transform our nation and culture, the intersection of faith and politics.
Hi, it's Craig Huey of the Huey Alert Podcast, and I'm so glad you joined us. And for today, I'm really excited about the guests we have. I don't have Shelley here with me. She'll be with me next week. But we have David Bonson on, and David is a money manager with some $5 billion under management. He's an author, he's a speaker, and he's written a new book. And this book I'm excited about. David, welcome to our podcast.
Thanks so much for having me.
So tell me about this book. From somebody who has a financial background, who writes on financial issues, you've written a financial book before. This book's a little bit different. Why'd you choose writing this book?
So I am a weird bird in a lot of ways. My late father was a Christian intellectual, one of the most brilliant pastors, scholars, theologians you could imagine. And he raised me with a really distinct understanding of a Christian worldview.
Right.
And it carried over in the way I view politics. It carried over in the way I view economics. And I've tried to bring that into the field of finance and allowed it to drive as I've built a large wealth management firm. But it also carried over in the way I view work, or the way I view vocational calling. I think the church is getting away from this message, that it is accepting the secular culture's idea that work is part of the problem in our culture. We're working too much. We're too stressed out. And it's creating a mental health problem.
Right.
Depression. And I think rather that work is the solution to those problems, not the cause of these problems. And I felt very animated to write this book.
David, that's awesome. Because as I take a look at the business press, as I take a look at the culture and how it's moving away from valuing work. It's talking about, you know, work from home and be able to, you know, work maybe 4 days a week and be able to, don't take a job seriously, constant. Tell me why you think it's biblical to be able to have a work ethic and kind of define what a work ethic is.
Well, and I think that you asked the question exactly the right way in that it's the biblical reason that motivates me. There's other people that believe we need to work harder. It's part of the American ethos to have a real strong work ethic. But I root it in a creational theology. And what I mean by that is I believe God made us to work.
Right.
And I, in the book, walk through the first chapter of Genesis.
Yes.
And point out that in the first 25 verses, God was making the world day by day, the sun and the moon and the stars and the land and the sea and eventually the plant kingdom and the animal kingdom. And every day, at the end of the day, God said he made it good. It was good.
Yeah.
And then he takes a few verses to explain why he made us, and I'm going to come back to that. And then in verse 31, it says, but mankind he made very good. And I'm intrigued by that adverb very. How could we be very good, and the beauty of the oceans and the stars are good? And the reason is in these verses in between, that God made us to have dominion over the land of the sea, to have dominion over the animals, to have dominion over the whole earth, to cultivate the garden, to care for the earth. And now working in finance, I see what risk takers and entrepreneurs have done.
Right.
To take the raw materials of earth and add value and build wealth, build prosperity.
So true.
By producing goods and services.
Right on.
That's what we've done. We've produced goods and services that meet the needs of humanity.
Right.
And I think God cares about it deeply. And I go so far as to say, I think it's why he made us.
Well, now the socialist mindset is it's not the entrepreneur developing products and services that are good and helpful for people, but they're exploiting the people. They're exploiting the worker. They're growing rich at the expense of others. How would you address that?
Well, the irony is that it is fundamentally a theological problem with socialism before it's an economic one. The economic problem is obvious. Eventually, you run out of other people's money. You don't have the incentives. You don't have the knowledge. Nobody can build the goods and services necessary to meet needs of humanity when stripped from the incentives and knowledge that a free enterprise system provides.
Right.
But theologically, it's worse than that because it treats certain people like second-class members of God's creation. all of you enlightened, gifted, talented people, you need to go produce goods and services, but all the rest of you, you're just there to consume as if they are lower dignity,
right,
lower members. But see, God said he made all of us in his image.
Yes.
Not half of us, not the producers.
Yes.
All of us are made in God's image. Well, what does that mean? God was a producer, a creator, an innovator, and he asked us to co-create with him. Now, we don't get to create out of nothing.
Right.
Only he can do that.
Yes.
But we create out of what he created, out of nothing.
Right.
And when we hold an iPhone in our hand and think it is the most successful consumer product in history,
right,
not one thing in that iPhone, not one individual part didn't exist at the Garden of Eden.
Right.
The raw materials of plastic and glass and rubber, and what we've extracted over the years. But what we did is we added our ideas. We added our ingenuity.
Yes.
And from the wheel to fire to the Industrial Revolution, and now, of course, in the day and age of digital technology, that's all it is our God-given capacity for creativity.
So, David, what you're describing is a biblical worldview that incorporates something that's kind of being excluded by the church and by pastors and by Christian ministries, authors of Christian books. It's something that's kind of neglected. You know, when you're taking a look at this in a kind of a post-Christian culture, how does this book fit into helping educate both the Christian and the non-Christian?
Well, let's start with the Christian, because I think that once the Christian and the Christian church gets the message right, we're going to have a lot more leverage, a lot more of a platform to help inform the non-Christian.
Right.
I'll be very candid. I think most non-Christians look at Christians in the workplace as a bastion of mediocrity.
Yes.
I think most people would say, okay, I would imagine the Christian worker may be less likely to rip me off, less likely to commit fraud, but not more likely to be excellent.
Right.
Not more likely to do wonderful work.
Right.
That's what our need is. Well, I believe that the Christian church has largely been preaching for years now against the warning of working too hard. And I don't know where these people are see that are working too
hard. Right, right, right.
We see a systemic problem, particularly of young men.
Yes.
Sleeping on their mom's couch till they're 30 years old, playing video games all day. Well, where are the warnings in these pulpits against that?
Yes.
Because I've read the Bible a lot. There's no verses in the Bible warning against working too hard.
Right.
There's a lot of verses in the Bible telling you to work harder.
Yeah.
Well, the Bible warns against the idolatry of wealth. The Bible warns against idolatry of a lot of things.
Yes.
We're not to make an idol out of our families.
Yeah.
But how many churches are preaching messages about, oh, you're a little too into being a husband. Yeah. You're a little too into being a father. Nobody does that.
Yep.
But then when it comes to work, they say, oh, people are working too hard. I think they have the message wrong.
Well, I've got several questions directly related to what you're saying, but I want to take a little side path here and talk about many who are listening either have or certainly know of those males that are in their 30s, 40s, that are living at home, and they're probably watching video and certainly playing video games, but they're not working. They're living at home, and mom and dad are taking care of them, because otherwise there's the view that they can't get ahead. They can't save money. They can't be able to exist in today's society. How would you address that?
Well, see, I think that part of what I have to say is a little controversial. I do not want to be mean or harsh, but I believe that we have to advocate for shame. Now, not going up to a particular person and trying to embarrass them, hurt them, shame them, but in the way we describe what you just described, it is shameful behavior.
Yeah.
And it should be treated as such.
Yeah.
You don't get to brag about the fact that you're 30 years old and never done anything.
Right.
What you should be driven to do is at a young age, start to answer the deep questions of life. Who you are, who you want to be.
Yes.
What God has for you.
Yes.
What it means.
Yes.
And along with those things that are very intrinsic to our relationship with Christ, our souls, our families.
Right.
Included in those deep questions of life is what our calling is.
Yes.
What we're here to do. part of this dovetails with my passion for economics. I don't think enough Christians understand nobody will pay us if we're not adding value to somebody else.
Right.
This is the beauty of a free market
system. That's a moral view.
Moral view.
Of the economy.
No question.
That you're adding value.
No question.
Yeah.
And
it's voluntary.
You can go home from work at the end of the day and decide you're going to help your neighbor and make them a dinner when they're sick and bring it over to them. And I think it's a wonderful thing to do.
Right.
But when you're at work, you might be helping 1,000 people. You may not even know those people.
Right.
You might be building widgets that go on a factory that end up going to meet needs of people across the world you'll never meet.
Right.
There's leverage in the majesty of a free enterprise system. It's a moral imperative that we lean into this system and maximize our own productivity.
So as a business owner myself, many of the viewers know I have an ad agency. My son runs it. I'm pretty much out of it. But over the years, we have made millionaires and multimillionaires. We've helped small companies become giant corporations, big companies become even bigger. We've helped develop new products and services, new launches of people with dreams and made them a reality. And as I've seen these entrepreneurs, these business people, what I have seen is that they have their ups and downs. They have their failures. It's not just that they've been able to run a business, take a risk, and be successful. My own agency has had its ups and downs. Sure. Times where I didn't know I had to pay employees and couldn't pay myself. And this is something I think many people don't understand. So when you're, let's divide the audience into the business owner, entrepreneur, the one person who might be listening has a dream of starting their own business, versus those who are just working for a company. What would you say to the business owner or to the person who wants to be a business owner about the economy and the value from a biblical standpoint of work?
Included in the entrepreneurial biblical value of work is the concept of risk-taking.
Yes.
And we are supposed to be celebrating risk-taking as Christians, as people have read the parable of the talents, as people have read the book of Proverbs, and also the American ethos. So the marketplace prices what I do and what that other function is differently. But God views both of them as transitive work that values the subject of the work, the worker, who he cares about and loves, the work itself, which means a great deal to him, and the object of the work, who is benefiting from it. All work has that in common, a subject and an object. Well, first of all, the employee, it's a little hard when you look to like Genesis and Exodus, because before you had a more advanced market economy, people were going out to work to have their own needs met. And we got to a place where you could work for others.
Yes.
But I want to make very clear what the Bible actually says. The Hebrew word avodah is used 401 times in the Hebrew scriptures. And it means literally work. Like in Exodus, thou shalt do thy work 6 days. And then it means worship. And it's the same word. I believe that it's funny you say that. I wish baby boomers would read it that are attracted to this idea of a 30-year vacation called retirement, because I don't think that's what God wants for them. I think God wants them to stay connected. At that age and stage of life, they are going to have more margin. They're going to spend more time with grandkids. I'm all for it. But a total disconnection from useful, productive activity where you're just golfing 7 days a week and you're on a sailboat all the time. No, I don't think it's what God intended. So I love that message to the older generation, to the much younger generation, Gen Z and Gen Y, this idea that work is something you do so you won't have to do it anymore. I think we have to get that notion out of our minds. Work is not something you do so that once you have enough money, you won't have to work anymore. Well, I agree. And there's a whole chapter in the book for pastors. I think it's a safe message for a pastor to go preach against people working too hard. It's non-controversial. They're not going to offend anyone, rub anyone the wrong way. But what I want pastors to maybe think about doing is preaching to those who are not working hard enough. And I joke about these movies all over the place as someone who goes back to their small town. They've been working hard, driving all the time, and then they realize they reconnect with an old girlfriend or old, and then they want to leave their career behind and go back. Well, I want a movie about the opposite. I want a movie of someone who says, I need to go more into my career, more into my work, because I think that God expects that type of excellence for us. You know, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Ephesians 2:10, and we all know that it says that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good work. And people have always interpreted that, including myself, thinking it meant to do good works, to be charitable, to do acts of service. Ergois agathois in Greek literally refers to vocational work. We were created in Christ Jesus to do work, to produce. That, to me, is a beautiful biblical idea of it. That's what I want pastors to wrap their arms around. Yeah, so fulltimebook.com, we created to be able to put up excerpts from the book. There's a podcast series there I do with other pastors and leaders. I interview a 35-year two-star general who's dealing now with disabled veterans, who's able to talk about how important work is to getting veterans with PTSD and other issues out of their emotional funk and into a life of productivity. So that's all at the website. And I think hopefully it's inspiring stuff. At least I'm trying to provoke people to greater thought.
Thanks for joining us this week. We are listener supported, so please consider partnering with us by donating at craighuey.com or by signing up for our free newsletter. We look forward to being with you next week. And don't forget to share this podcast with others.